So when my children were finished potty training, I thought I was done thinking about their bodily fluids. And then I realized that after the potty training stage, we have the dancing stage. And if parents, grandparents, you might recognize this, that sometimes my kids will get so consumed in what they're doing, they're looking at it, they're drawing, whatever, and then they start the dance, right? You've seen the dance, right? Like the tugging on their pants, and then it's the question, hey, do you need to use the restroom? No, I'm good. Stop. Go to the restroom, come back. Right? And then they go and they run and they come back and they can immerse themselves in whatever else they were doing. But I've learned that if I don't help them stop, they make a mess. And in the same way, we have a way of getting overwhelmed with something going on in our life, and we get so focused on what's in front of us that we just start dancing ourselves. And if we don't stop and recharge, then we make a mess as well. The passage that we find in Matthew chapter 6 is from the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is teaching, and in many ways, Jesus is teaching and saying, you're overwhelmed, you're too busy. Stop what you're doing. Don't worry and focus on me. So we have this invitation that Jesus gives us, and it starts as the passage that we read says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. And so with the not worrying about what we're going to wear, I almost wore sweatpants and a sweatshirt today. I was like, if Jesus said I don't have to worry, but I couldn't do it. But it helps sometimes to think about what we're going to wear. I hope wherever you spend on Thanksgiving, I hope your host has thought through the menu, because it would be a really big bummer if you showed up to Thanksgiving and they said, you know what, Jesus told me not to worry about what we were going to eat, so around noon we'll find something in the pantry that we can kind of warm up, right? So that wouldn't work either. And so we have this invitation from Jesus to not worry about our lives, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. And sometimes when we read that, it feels a little overwhelming because it's like, how do we do that? And so I think it helps to read just the verse in front of it, verse 24. Remember, when we read scripture, it wasn't originally written with chapters or with verse numbers. And so it was a whole lot of words. So different scholars over the years have put different breaks in it. So some scholars start with the passage that we read and call that a break. But others include verse 24 to be a part of this same teaching from Jesus. So I want to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And I think it helps us to get the context for what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So what Jesus is addressing here is people trying to lift up God and then also trying to hold up wealth, and they're doing this dance kind of back and forth, and it's causing a little bit of chaos. So that kind of helps us understand what Jesus says next. If we're holding on to wealth, if that's what's overwhelming us, consuming us, then it really helps us understand verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Jesus is saying if you're focused on wealth, then you're probably worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. And so there's this specific invitation for those of us that wrestle with that to take a step back and to stop worrying about those things so that we can focus on God. And the passage continues, and then we get to verses 33 and 34, and it says, instead of clinging to wealth, instead desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Wow. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Right? We have a way of worrying. We have a way of being overwhelmed at times. And so I think when we are overwhelmed, Jesus invites us to not worry and to focus on God. But I think for us this morning, we might have this struggle of choosing God or wealth, but the reality is maybe we can look at these verses and say, it's between choosing God and something else that's overwhelming me, something else that is consuming, whatever is making me kind of do that dance. Is it your children? Is it your parents? Is it health? Is it your job? Is it your marriage? Last week we talked about recognizing those things that overwhelm us. And so today, as Jesus says, you can choose between focusing on God or focusing on this other thing to wear you out. Jesus is reminding us to stop worrying and to therefore focus on God. And I believe that God has given us gifts to help us stop worrying and to recharge. Right? Because that's Jesus' invitation, to stop worrying and to recharge. And my guess is every single person in here knows how to stop worrying, right? But there's often ways that we run to that aren't healthy for us to stop worrying, right? We can get consumed with certain substances that help us drown out those feelings, right? And we won't worry if we use those or too much of those. And then the other side of it is if we don't want to worry, we can close our hearts off. And we can forget about the outside world, about all the pain and all the suffering. And we could say, I'm just going to focus on myself. And if we do that, then we stop worrying about the rest of the world. But we know that Christ doesn't call us to do that either. Instead, Jesus gives us these gifts that we can use and connect with that help us from being overwhelmed. Because the God that created us knows us well. And God didn't create us to live in a state of being overwhelmed. So I think God has given us certain gifts that help us recharge, that help us take that breath and live the life that God is calling us to live. And so I think we first recharge with the gift of others. The gift of others is a huge gift for each and every one of us. In Genesis 2, verse 18, it says this: Then the Lord God said, It's not good that the human is alone. I will make him a helper that is perfect for him. So God is with Adam in this garden, right? So we would look at that and say, Adam's not alone. But God is saying, you need somebody that you can touch, somebody that you can feel. I want to make sure that you're not alone. And so Eve is created, right? And so there's this understanding that we as humans need each other. That's why part of our mission at Vista Ridge is building life-giving relationships with each other. They're not just relationships, but they're life-giving, right? They're life-giving when we can gather in a small group or a Sunday school class with a group of other people at the church and say, I'm struggling. I need your help. This is what I'm wrestling with, and I can't do this alone, right? When we confide in each other, when we're vulnerable with one another, we find life-giving relationships with one another. And this is a gift that God has offered us. And so we have the opportunity to take advantage of that gift, but there's also other gifts that God puts in our life that sometimes, for some reason, we don't cling to. But I think there's the gift of professionals that can guide us. The gift of others might be found in a counselor, somebody who's been trained to walk with you through grief or through your other struggles. I know for me, my counselor is a life-giving relationship. And on those weeks that I feel most overwhelmed, the weeks I feel so consumed that I don't have an extra hour to go see my counselor, those are the times I need my counselor the most. Right? It helps to have somebody, sometimes a group, sometimes just an individual, but that's a gift God has given us. Last week, we lifted up Stephen ministers, and those are trained people in our congregation to do congregational care, to meet with you for an hour at a time, an hour a week, and to walk with you, pray with you, to be on your side, somebody that you can say, I just need somebody else in my corner right now. God's given us the gift of others when we feel overwhelmed. I love this passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says, Also, if two lie down together, they can stay warm. But how can anyone stay warm alone? Also, one can be overpowered. but two together can put up resistance. A three-ply cord doesn't easily snap. A three-ply cord doesn't easily snap. And when we're overwhelmed, we walk around and we just feel like that one extra thing is going to make us snap. But a three-ply cord isn't overwhelmed. It doesn't snap. So God has given us the gift of others. And as we hold that gift in one hand, we might hold the gift of solitude in the other. Because sometimes that can help us recharge just as much. So I find it fascinating. Jesus' ministry was only about 3 years. So he didn't have a whole lot of time, but what we see in the Gospels over and over again is that Jesus escapes to be alone with God. He gets away from everybody else. And I'm thinking, Jesus, you've only got 3 years, man. You got to get going, right? Utilize your time. But Jesus knew that the gift of solitude was extremely important for each and every one of us. And so perhaps we can follow Jesus' example of taking time to be by ourselves, right? And sometimes being by ourselves might mean that we just live into some of our artwork or some of our music. Maybe we get away in nature. Maybe we find ourselves journaling more, reflecting more, studying scripture more. In your Bible app, there's a link to join in with this week's Bible study. And so if you click that link, you and I can be in prayer with one another and go through the same devotional all week, which is awesome. So you can get your time of solitude, and then there's a spot where we can even make comments, and then we connect with each other. So we get the gift of the other and the gift of solitude in that. This past weekend, Lisa, at the family retreat, taught the children how to do a prayer labyrinth. Because even our children get overwhelmed, and so she taught them. When they are feeling overwhelmed, they can go and they can be alone with God. And she taught them how to pray using this finger prayer in this labyrinth. So we're teaching our children the practice of solitude, the importance of it. And I hope you and I can connect with that as well. And I think if we live into the gift of others and the gift of solitude, the reality is that sometimes the more extroverted types on a normal basis get their energy from being with other people. And introverts kind of find that they need their alone time. But when we are in an overwhelmed state, what happens is that sometimes us extroverts need to do a little more reflection and kind of work through our sense of being overwhelmed in a little more reflective state. And if we're introverted, sometimes we need to get outside of just ourselves and take that step to reach out and use the gift of the other. And so however you recharge, it's important to know how you recharge normally and then how you recharge when you're overwhelmed. But ultimately, I think what we do is we recharge with the gift of rest. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, "On the sixth day, God completed all the work that he had done. And on the seventh day, God rested from all the work he had done. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work of creation." One of our Ten Commandments is to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. The God who created us, the God who knows us, created us to need rest. We can't just keep going. We can't keep going. We can't keep going. God gives us the example of resting, and I think we need to live into that as well. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Be still and know that I am God. Because there are times when I'm doing this dance, right? I'm overwhelmed with what's going on. And then I hear God say, "Be still and know that I am God." And so as I wrestle with saying God is God, but I'm trying to put something else of importance, God is saying, "Be still. Don't worry about these other things, but know that I am God." So I want to share a prayer with you this morning. We'll end the sermon with that. It's called the Be Still Prayer. And so it's 2 minutes, and you can watch it on the screen, but if you want, you can close your eyes as well. And it will just read through, "Be still and know that I am God." And the prayer kind of guides you through those verses there. And so I invite you to still your hearts and still your minds and enter into this time of prayer now.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Be still. Amen.
Holy God, in the midst of too often feeling overwhelmed, let us remember that you are God and we are not. Help us be still. Help us take advantage of the gifts that you have given us so that we can live faithfully for you. Amen.